We are seeing the fulfillment of these warnings. Never have scriptures been more strictly fulfilled than these have been. Men may erect the most carefully constructed, fireproof buildings, but one touch of God's hand, one spark from heaven, will sweep away every refuge. It has been asked if I have any advice to give. I have already given the advice that God has given me, hoping to prevent the falling of the fiery sword that was hanging over Battle Creek. Now, that which I dreaded has come, the news of the burning of the Review and Herald building. When this news came, I felt no surprise, and I had no words to speak. What I have had to say from time to time in warnings has had no effect except to harden those who heard, and now I can only say I am so sorry, so very sorry that it was necessary for this stroke to come. Light enough has been given. If it were acted upon, further light would not be needed. To our people, ministers and lay members, I am instructed to say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. For many ministers and people are walking in strange paths. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Let every soul be on the alert. The adversary is on your track. Be vigilant, watching diligently, lest some carefully concealed and masterly snare shall take you unawares. Let the careless and indifferent beware, lest the day of the Lord come upon them as a thief in the night. Many will wander from the path of humility, and casting aside the yoke of Christ, will walk in strange paths. Blinded and bewildered, they will leave the narrow path that leads to the city of God. A man cannot be a happy Christian unless he is a watchful Christian. He who overcomes must watch, for with worldly entanglements, error, and superstition, Satan strives to win Christ's followers from him. It is not enough that we avoid glaring dangers and perilous, inconsistent moves. We are to keep close to the side of Christ, walking in the path of self-denial and sacrifice. We are in an enemy's country. He who were cast out of heaven has come down with great power. With every conceivable artifice and device, he is seeking to take souls captive. Unless we are constantly on guard, we shall fall an easy prey to his unnumbered deceptions. The experience of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane contains a lesson for the Lord's people today. Taking with him Peter and James and John, Christ went to Gethsemane to pray. He said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Read in Mark 14, verses 34 to 38. Read these words carefully. Many today are asleep, as were the disciples. They are not watching and praying, lest they enter into temptation. Let us read and study those portions of God's Word that have special reference to these last days, pointing out the dangers that will threaten God's people. We need keen, sanctified perception. This perception is not to be used in criticizing and condemning one another, but discerning the signs of the times. We are to keep our hearts with all diligence, that we may not make shipwreck of our faith. Many who were once firm believers in the truth have become careless in regard to their spiritual welfare and are yielding without the slightest opposition to Satan's well-laid plots. It is time for our people to take their families from the cities into more retired localities, else many of the youth, and many also of those older in years, will be ensnared and taken by the enemy. The following short article was written at the same place on January 7, 1903. We have all been made very sad by the news of the terrible loss that has come to the cause in the burning of the Review and Herald office. In 1 year, two of our largest institutions have been destroyed by fire. The news of this recent calamity has caused us to mourn deeply, but it was permitted by the Lord to come upon us, and we should make no complaint, but learn from it the lesson that the Lord would teach us. The destruction of the Review and Herald building should not be passed over as something in which there is no meaning. Everyone connected with the office should ask himself, wherein do I deserve this lesson? Wherein have I walked contrary to a thus saith the Lord, that he should send this lesson to me? Have I heeded the warnings and reproofs that he have sent, or have I followed my own way? Let the heart-searching God reprove the erring, and let each one bow before him in humility and contrition, casting aside all self-righteousness and self-importance, confessing and forsaking every sin, and asking God in the name of the Redeemer for pardon. God declares, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Read in John 6:37. And those who in sincerity present themselves before him will be pardoned and justified, and will receive power to become the sons of God. I pray that those who have resisted light and evidence, refusing to listen to God's warnings, will see in the destruction of the Review and Herald office an appeal to them to turn to God with full purpose of heart. Will they not realize that God is in earnest with them? He is not seeking to destroy life, but to save life. In the recent destruction, the lives of the workers were graciously preserved that all might have an opportunity to see that God was correcting them by a message coming not from a human source, but from above. God's people have departed from him. They have not followed his instruction, and he has come near them in correction. But he has not brought extinction of life. Not one soul has been taken by death. All have been left alive to recognize the power that no man can gainsay. Let us praise the Lord that the lives of his children have been so precious in his sight. He might have cut off the workers in their heedlessness and self-sufficiency, but no. He says, they shall have another chance. I will let the fire speak to them and will see if they will counterwork the action of my providence. I will try them as by fire to see if they will learn the lesson that I desire to teach them. When the Battle Creek Sanitarium was destroyed, Christ gave himself to defend the lives of men and women. In this destruction, God was appealing to his people to return to him. And in the destruction of the Review and Herald office and the saving of life, he makes a second appeal to them. He desires them to see that the miracle-working power of the infinite has been exercised to save life, that every worker may have opportunity to repent and be converted. God says, If they turn to me, I will restore to them the joy of my salvation. But if they continue to walk in their own way, I will come still closer, and affliction shall come upon the families who claim to believe the truth, but who do not practice the truth, who do not make the Lord God of Israel their fear and their dread. Let everyone examine himself to see whether he be in the faith. Let the people of God repent and be converted, that their sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let them ascertain wherein they have failed to walk in the way that God has marked out, wherein they have failed to purify their souls by taking heed to his counsels.
Chapter 22, What Might Have Been.
Written at St. Helena, California, January 5, 1903. To the Battle Creek Church. One day at noon, I was writing of the work that might have been done at the last General Conference if the men in positions of trust had followed the will and way of God. Those who have had great light have not walked in the light. The meeting was closed, and the break was not made. Men did not humble themselves before the Lord as they should have done, and the Holy Spirit was not imparted. I had written thus far when I had lost consciousness, and I seemed to be witnessing a scene in Battle Creek. We were assembled in the auditorium of the tabernacle. Prayer was offered, a hymn was sung, and prayer was again offered. Most earnest supplication was made to God. The meeting was marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The work went deep, and some present were weeping aloud. One arose from his bowed position and said that in the past he had not been in union with certain ones and had felt no love for them, but that now he saw himself as he was. With great solemnity he repeated the message to the Laodicean church, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." "In my self-sufficiency, this is just the way I felt," he said. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I see now that this is my condition. My eyes are opened. My spirit has been hard and unjust. I thought myself righteous, but my heart is broken. And I see my need of the precious counsel of the one who has searched me through and through. Oh, how gracious and compassionate and loving are the words, 'I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see,'" quoted from Revelation 3:17-18. The speaker turned to those who had been praying and said, "We have something to do. We must confess our sins and humble our hearts before God." He made heartbroken confessions and then stepped up to several of the brethren, one after another, and extended his hand, asking forgiveness. Those to whom he spoke sprang to their feet, making confession and asking forgiveness, and they fell upon one another's necks, weeping. The spirit of confession spread through the entire congregation. It was a Pentecostal season. God's praises were sung, and far into the night until nearly morning, the work was carried on. The following words were often repeated with clear distinctness: "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Verses 19 and 20 of Revelation 3. No one seemed to be too proud to make heartfelt confession, and those who led in this work were the ones who had influence, but had not before had courage to confess their sins. There was rejoicing such as never before had been heard in the tabernacle. Then I aroused from my unconsciousness, and for a while could not think where I was. My pen was still in my hand. The words were spoken to me, "This might have been." All this the Lord was waiting to do for his people. All heaven was waiting to be gracious. I thought of where we might have been had thorough work been done at the last General Conference, and an agony of disappointment came over me as I realized that what I had witnessed was not a reality. God's way is always the right and prudent way. He always brings honor to his name. Man's only security against rash, ambitious movements is to keep the heart in harmony with Jesus Christ. Man's wisdom is untrustworthy. Man is fickle, filled with self-esteem, pride, and selfishness. Let the workers doing God's service trust wholly in the Lord. Then the leaders will reveal that they are willing to be led, not by human wisdom, which is as useless to lean upon as is a broken reed, but by the wisdom of the Lord, who has said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Quoted from James 1, verses 5 and 6.
Chapter 23, Forgetfulness.
All who profess to be children of God, I would invite to consider the history of the Israelites, as recorded in the 105th, the 106th, and the 107th Psalms. By carefully studying these scriptures, we may be able to appreciate more fully the goodness, mercy, and love of our God.
Chapter 24, A Hymn of the Promised Land.
Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, call upon his name. Make known among the peoples his doings. Sing unto him, sing praises unto him. Talk ye of all his marvelous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Jehovah. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is Jehovah our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and sojourners in it, and they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. And he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them. Joseph was sold for a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron until the time that his word came to pass. The word of Jehovah tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of peoples, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, and ruler of all his substance, to teach his princes at his pleasure, and teach his elders wisdom. Israel came also into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly, and made them stronger than their adversaries. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant, and Aaron whom he had chosen. They set among them his signs and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his words. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land swarmed with frogs in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their borders. He gave them hail for rain, and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also, and their fig trees. He brake the trees of their borders. He spake, and the locust came, and the grasshopper, and that without number, and did eat up every herb in their land, and did eat up the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. And he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. They asked, and he brought quails, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy word, and Abraham his servant, And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with singing. And he gave them the lands of the nations. And they took the labor of the peoples in possession, that they might keep his statutes, and obey and observe his laws. Praise ye Jehovah. That was Psalm 105, American Revised Version.